Shmuel Beis, Perakites, Pasuk Chaf Hei. Mephibosheth ben Shaul Yorad Likras HaMelech. As David HaMelech returns to Eretz Yisrael, Mephibosheth approaches David HaMelech, V'leyosa Ragola V'leyosa Sfamai V'esbgodav Likibes, L'minayoyim Lechas HaMelech Adayim Asher Bavir Shavashalim. He did not clean his legs, did not take any haircut, didn't wash his clothes. From the day David HaMelech left, he was forced to run away until he came back.
This is Mephibosheth.
This is Mephibosheth, yeah.
That's the one that was his king from before, his friend from before.
Well, yeah, he was from the descendants of Shaul HaMelech.
Yeah.
And his servant, Tziva, came to David. He fooled David. He basically said, with Mitzvah Shemra and Mephibosheth, he told him, "Oh, Mephibosheth is not with you anymore. He stayed in Yerushalayim, and I came to support you, David HaMelech, and I was the one who brought you all this food, this cattle, this drink, and supplies." So now, David HaMelech back then had two reasons to trust Tziva and to believe that Mephibosheth, in fact, is joining the rebels against him. What were the two reasons that Tziva presented to David? First of all, the fact that Mephibosheth did not come to greet David. Did not greet him. So that, in and of itself, proves that if he would have been on David's side, naturally he would come to greet him, to support him at his time of need. Second reason was that he stayed in Yerushalayim. The fact that he stayed in Yerushalayim proves that he was, in fact, loyal to Avshalom. Because if he was loyal to David,
they would have killed him.
It would be dangerous to stay in Yerushalayim. Avshalom would have killed him, right? So for those two reasons, David actually believed
that
the Moitzi Shemra that Tziva said about Mephibosheth, his master. And now he finds out that everything Tziva said was made up. And the two reasons he had to believe that Mephibosheth rebelled against him are not true. First of all, he clearly saw that Mephibosheth was mourning over the exile of David Melech. He did not take a shower, he did not clean himself, he was in a state of mourning, very clearly. And secondly, he did not stay in Yerushalayim, because he would have been killed. He was camping right outside of Yerushalayim. He left the city, and as David HaMelech approaches Yerushalayim, he sees Mephibosheth from outside the city. And now he notices that Tziva, in fact, lied to him, and Mephibosheth was really loyal to him. Ve'kiva Yerushalayim, that's what it says when he's approaching Yerushalayim, right? In Pasuk Chavav, it says he didn't enter Yerushalayim yet, he approaches Yerushalayim. Kiva Yerushalayim likras HaMelech, ve'yemer lei HaMelech, lama lei halachta imi Mephibosheth? Why didn't you come and greet me? Right? Why don't you join my camp? Vayomer Adoni HaMelech, Avdi Rimani. My servant
deceived
me.
Same guy.
Yeah. He deceived me. Now, as we recall, Mephibosheth was lame. He did not have a possibility to walk. So he was completely reliant
to help him.
On Tziva to help him. So if Tziva didn't help him, he had nothing to do. Right, he was really stuck. Right? He told me that he was going to go set the saddle and prepare the chamor to go and greet you, but then I realized that he left me behind. And I had no possibility to do it myself because I was lame. He came to you as a spy. You are now as righteous as a malach, as an angel, and you should do what's best in your eyes. Meaning, I'm accepting whatever you say. I'm not judging you for accepting the words of Tziva. You can do whatever you want. The whole household of my father, all they tried to do was to kill you, David HaMelech. However, you were very kind to me, and you took me under your wing, you put me on your table, rejoined me to your household. and you trusted me. I have nothing more to say. I have nothing. You were so kind to me. There's nothing more you can do to me. So whatever you say, it's fine. You know, I'm so thankful, so full of gratitude to you for accepting me.
You won.
That's enough. Right? Now, David HaMelech was faced with a problem. When Tziva came and told him, fooled him, that Mephibosheth was rebelling against him, what did he tell Tziva? He told Tziva, oh, if Mephibosheth is rebelling against me, then I'm giving you as the king, I'm giving you
his land,
all the inheritance, everything now belongs to you, Tziva. Now the halacha is that Dvar HaMelech Ein LaHashiv. We find in Megillas Esther that when a king says something, whatever it is,
it's law.
It's done. You can't. There's no turning back. You can't say, "Oh, I'm gonna reverse what I said before. I changed my mind." There's no such thing. To the extent that generally the halacha is that you're not allowed to
renege.
You're not allowed to destroy a shul, to take down the building, unless you have a different shul already built. Why? Because we're afraid that if you take down the old shul, you might become lazy, you might have lack of funds, you won't be able to, it's going to take time until the new shul is built. Therefore, we say the halacha is, you're not allowed to take down the old shul until the new shul is built. However, if a king says, I will build a new shul, then that's an exception to the rule, and you're allowed to go ahead and take down the old shul even before the new shul is built. Because if the king says so,
he's going to do it.
It's done. You can consider it as if it's already happened.
Yeah.
Where do we find that? Where did that actually happen? By Hardus.
Yeah,
Hardus HaMelech, Herods, King Herods, when he killed all the Chachamim, and he was only left with one, and the whole story.
He blinded him,
and he told him, you know, he tried to get him to speak against the king, against Herods, and he refused to do so. And he realized what mistake he made.
Abaze, his name was,
right. He realized what a mistake he made, and he went to this chacham, Shimon Mechetach, and he told him, you know, I obviously did such a horrible mistake by killing all the Torah sages. What should I do in order to repent? So he tells them, "Ata kibito erish alaylam, tivna erish alaylam. You put out the light of the world, which is the Torah scholars. Therefore, you should rebuild the light of the world, which is the Beis HaMikdash. So what did King Herods do? He took down the old Beis HaMikdash, which was a very old, poorly made structure.
He told them not to rip it down and build around it or something. I'm not going to interrupt.
Yeah, well, I'm saying he didn't destroy it completely, but he, still, to go in and take down any part of the Beis HaMikdash before the new Beis HaMikdash was built would have been a problem. But because he was a king, and the halacha is that once a king says something, it's done. Therefore, you can consider it done, finished.
Not afraid he's going to run out of funds.
Right, definitely not King Herod.
There'll be no excuse.
Yeah.
I can't forget the money.
Yeah.
He said he was a great builder, but he was a great murderer.
Yes. Well, first he murdered and then he built.
No.
In any case, at this point, David HaMelech is faced with a problem. He already told Tziva that he's going to have the land and the inheritance of the house of Mephibosheth. So what is he going to do now? He can't turn it around. So he tells him, you know what I'm going to do? Amarti ata v'tzivo tachliku es asadeh. And all I said was that Tziva is going to have a part in the land. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to say, you know what? You can both have land. You're going to split the land. And the halacha is anyway that when a person goes down, he works the land, a hired worker who goes down to work the land, the halacha is he gets half the peiros. Whatever payers come out of the land, he gets half. So since that's the halacha anyway, he's saying, okay, now Tziva, who's working the land, obviously him and his men are working the land, you're not working the land, it's just you're lame. So, therefore, he's saying you should split the land. And he's, what he's doing now is he's interpreting what he said before. Before he said that Tziva's going to have a part, and now he's saying, you know what, you guys are going to split it. Now, since David HaMelech accepted the Lashon Hara of Tziva, he was punished, especially now, for the fact that he was in a tough spot, because he already promised Tziva that he was going to have a Sada, and he couldn't turn back on that promise. However, it seems that to some degree, he still accepted the Lashon Hara of Tziva. And when he said the words that you and Tziva will split the land, a baskel came out from Shemayim and said, because you accepted the Lashon Hara of Mephibosheth, and you are now having Tziva and Mephibosheth split the land, I'm going to go ahead
split
your kingdom. Right? And that's what happened later on. David Melech was punished, that the Malchus was torn between Beis Yehuda and Beis Yisrael. Many generations later. But I remember Mephibosheth el HaMelech.
I wouldn't expect that. It seems to me, what was the sin?
David HaMelech?
He accepted. Oh yeah, all right. And he said, the land is yours.
Right.
So what is wrong now that he's saying, okay, I said it, I can't take it away, but I can't leave his bushes like this here, because this guy told me a lie. So I'll split it. What are we supposed to do? Take it away from the other guy?
That's a good question. It's not clear what he was supposed to do, because again, he had to go with,
that's
with his word.
What was he supposed to do?
You can't, once you have a trial, and
yeah, but this is
what you can't have give the guy a set. Once you give someone a trial in court, and you say he's innocent, you can't go back and retrial him again.
Fine.
And say,
it's fine, but is it such a sin that I'm going to split the kingdom? I mean, that's. I mean, that is.
You're not talking to an ordinary person.
It's not the guy in jail because he, you know. I don't understand the greatness of the sin.
It seems to be a disagreement among the Mefarshim if he really truly believed him fully or not. According to the Malbim, it seems that he did believe him. Right? He accepted what Mephibosheth was telling him. And now what he's doing is he's going in and fixing what he did before, and he's telling them to split the
Sada. What should he have done?
He could have given Mephibosheth part of his own Sada, part of his own land. You know, in order, you made a mistake, so you pay for it. David HaMelech made a mistake by accepting the Lashon Hara. That was wrong. He was not allowed to accept the Lashon Hara. When he went ahead and gave Tziva the Sada, that's your problem, David HaMelech. You gave Tziva the Sada, you pay for it. Give Mephibosheth what he had before. That's what he's supposed to have.
All right.
It's clear that he was wrong by accepting it.
Here's $20. Here's a present. Now tomorrow's a hey. Give it back to me. But it's a present. You can't take it.
Do you realize when he said his kingdom's going to be split? You know what happened because of that? I mean, that is. Did he commit such a sin that he is? This is the bad. I really understand how bad. It was. I can understand he shouldn't have accepted it and everything else. And now he's trying to fix it. So.
He didn't do such a good job in fixing it. All he did was told him to split it.
Fricked Akasha, it's his Nishkosha. If you ask him,
it's
like
you're taking things as fake. I want to know, I really want to know what was so bad that he did that they did that came down that it saves the whole. Way of the of Israel afterwards. I mean,
I'm going to make a telephone call.
Well, we see that accepting Lashon Hara is considered to be very, very serious. Mm. Saying for Lashon Hara, that's why Beis HaMikdash was destroyed.
But he doesn't say. Stinney doesn't say because he accepted Lashon Hara. He says he split it because you split it. Because you split it. What if he didn't split it?
The fact that he split it shows us that to some degree he did accept the Lashon Hara. You know, someone's trying to come up with some compromise. But if you really took a wrong stance and took the side of Tziva,
what should he have done at this point? Not to have that gazera come
first
down.
First of all, he should have punished Tziva for what Tziva had done. Tziva rebelled against his master. Mm-hmm. How could he just let him get away with it? And furthermore, we find the contrast between the way he's treating Mephibosheth and the way he's treating Shimon ben Gera. Shimon ben Gera, who rebelled against him, not only did he rebel against him, he cursed him. He threw rocks at him. He humiliated him. What does he do when he returns to the kingdom?
Okay.
He pardons him. Yeah, it's fine. I'm not going to kill you. He pardons him. Mephibosheth, his good friend, who was fooled by his servant, what does he do? Oh yeah, you just split it, you know.
Okay.
That's why, the Chazal say, that's why these two parashas are very close to each other. Shimon ben Gera and Mephibosheth, to show us the contrast between the two. Mm-hmm. To the wrong person who rebelled against him, the Rasha, he pardons him, and Mephibosheth, he doesn't pardon him, even though he was his good friend and supporter.
Okay, that now you're explaining me what the sin is. It's not the sin was what he did with this guy here that he believed him. It's because it came with the other thing. What he should have done, he didn't do it. That okay,
right.
Now I can understand it better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Viter. Okay, so that's the story with Mephibosheth. Now, what do we have next? Barzillai was another ally of David HaMelech. And he comes down from Reglim, which is where he lived. So he's now helping David cross the Yarden. He's a very old man. There are now three reasons why David should go ahead and respect Barzillai. First of all, he's a very, very old man, which deserves respect. Secondly, he should have he has gratitude to Barzillai because he supported him in Machanaim financially. And secondly, Kigish Gadol Humoid. He was a very great Talmud Chacham. So three reasons why David is now going ahead and honoring Barzillai. Vayemar HaMelech al Barzillai, Ata Avori Tivi V'Chalkalti Oyscha Imbadi B'Yerushalayim. He tells Barzillai, why don't you come with me? Come join me in Yerushalayim. I'll support you. You'll be part of my household. You can live in the palace. He's telling him, listen, if you're doing it for me, because you want me to enjoy, how much longer do I have? Right? Right? So it's a huge hassle to bring me, I'm an old man, huge hassle to bring me all the way to the palace. Why are you schlepping me all the way to the palace? I'm very old. You know, how much can you give me already? It's not going to last very long. I'm old. I'm about to die anyway. So there's no point in you bringing me to Yerushalayim. And if you're doing it for a different reason, if you're doing it because you want me to be your advisor and to give you advice.
I've lost it.
Yeah, I'm already too old. You know, I don't know between good and bad. Right, there's nothing good I can do for you. I can't, you know, join in your in your feast.
See what he says? I can't taste what I eat or what I drink.
Right, so it's no good for me.
I don't taste too much eat myself. It's terrible.
Well, there you go. You're like Barzillai. Barzillai was a good man, though. So, it's a good person to be like. So he tells him, why should I join you? It's just hassle. I'm not going to get any good out of it. You're not going to get any good out of it. So why would you bring me? Kimat yavar avdecha seyardin el ha-melech, v'lam yigmilin ha-melech ha-gmulo ha-zois. Right? It'll be very difficult for me to pass the Yarden. So there's really no need for you to pay me back for what you've done. It's very nice you want to pay me back for me supporting you, but really, there's no need.
What is the point of this discussion? Why is it here? What are we learning out of this?
First of all, we're learning on Karas HaTayv. How David HaMelech wanted to pay back for Barzillai supporting him.
Well, he wasn't the only one that helped him. It doesn't say about everybody who helped him. He said, why him?
I don't know.
There's a reason for it.
He fed him and took care of him while he was escaping.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why only him.
That helped him too.
It sounds like at this point, when he's returning back to Yerushalayim, he's now kind of like, you know, taking care of all his affairs.
Regrouping and helping, taking care of everyone that helped about.
Yeah.
Well, this guy's only 80 years old.
Paying back.
The young man in these days.
Yeah, he's young.
In all the pills that we have now, they keep alive.
They say 80 is the new 60. Yashav na'ad v'chav v'omus v'iri in kever avi v'imi. It's better that I should stay in my hometown and pass away and be buried with my father and mother. V'na'ad v'chav kimhom yavar im adoni emelech. Kimhom was the son of Barzillai. So he's saying, kimhom, my son, will go with you. Right? If you want to repay me, take my son with you. V'asal es asher toy b'enecha. Everything you wanted to do to me, you could do to him instead. But Yoimer Melech iti yavar kimam. So David Melech agrees. He says, yes, in fact, I will take kimam, your son. Right, everything I wanted to do to you, I'm going to do to him. Right, anything you want me to do to him, let me know. Add it to the list and consider it done. Yeah. They're now passing the Yarden. So David Melech knows very likely this will be the last time he's going to see Barzillai.
Yeah.
Because Barzillai is very old, right? There's not much of a chance he's going to see him again. David Melech is in Yerushalayim. He's hoping to stay there and not to get kicked out again. So, that's it. He tells Barzillai goodbye and have a nice life. Whatever's left. Pasuk Mem Aleph. Vayavar HaMelech HaGilgal. Comes over to Gilgal. And the Kimon Avar Imai. Kimon, the son of Barzillai, joins him. Cholam Yehudo Ve'eviras HaMelech V'gam Chatzi Am Yisrael. So now we're coming to the beginning of the rivalry between Shevet Yehuda and the rest of the Jewish people. So who is the one who supported David HaMelech? The Shevet of Yehuda. They're the ones to come and support him. Because naturally, they were his tribe. They were his Shevet. And the rest of the Jewish people are now greeting David HaMelech as he's returning back to Eretz Yisrael. V'hine kol ish Yisrael b'ayim el HaMelech. They're not greeting him. V'ayim el HaMelech, madu agnavucho achinu ish Yehuda. Why is it that Anshe Yehuda, your tribe of Yehuda, they're the ones to pass the Yarden with you? What about us? Now, what are they so concerned about? They're concerned about their image. It looks really bad. It seems like Yosef. That... What? It
seems like Yosef and his brothers.
Well,
When Yaakov died.
Right.
You could take revenge, and he said, you know.
Right. So it seems like Yehuda, it's only Shevet Yehuda supporting you, David HaMelech. Me, right? Meaning the rest of the Jewish people, Kol Yish Yisrael. It sounds like that only now that, you know, you have your supporters, the Shevet of Yehuda with you, and you've got your army, and you're returning with your entourage, oh, now we're, so to speak, forced to accept you as our king again. But that's not the case. We agreed to accept you as our king, and it's making us look really bad. We now are portrayed as the rebels, and Ish Yehuda are portrayed as the supporters of the king. So they're very upset about this. So they tell him, why did you let the people of Yehuda to come and support you? That's what they're worried about. V'yan kol Ish Yehuda al Ish Yisrael. So now they start arguing with the tribe of Yehuda.
When he's talking about Israel, it means all the other
ten tribes.
11.
That's
Israel. That's the whole bunch of them. Now
right.
He's talking about him and then
right. All the other tribes.
The whole bunch of tribes is hey.
All the other tribes. All the other tribes are now.
What made you the
Exactly. Vayan kol ish Yehuda al ish Yisrael. So now the people of Yehuda, the tribe of Yehuda, is now giving three reasons
why
they should be the ones to support David HaMelech. First of all, Kikar v'melech Eli. Right, first of all, we're his tribe, right? It's natural that we will be the ones to support him. So I don't know why you're complaining. V'lama zechar lecha al adavar hazeh. Why are you so upset? Ha'echo achalnu min ha'melech misis nisa lanu. It's not like, they're giving an analogy, it's not like, you know, coming to a feast, coming to a meal, right? Anybody who comes first gets the best part, right? He can have the waiter bring the best part of the best cut of meat, the best cut of the fish, whatever it is. In this case, it's very different. It's not like a feast where whoever comes first gets the best part or the biggest portion. You can also join in and support David HaMelech, right? It's not like because we supported him, so we can't support him anymore. It's not like that. So why are you so upset? So three reasons. First of all, we are closest to him. Secondly, there's no reason for you to be so upset. It's not hurting your honor, the Jewish people. And third point is, and also, if you might want to say Barei Va'am Hadras Melech, you want to say, oh, the more people that support David HaMelech, it's better for him. It shows that he's got a very strong following. He said they say it's not necessarily true because David HaMelech is moichel on his kavod in that way, meaning he doesn't require the support of all the Jewish people. It's enough for him to have the support of Shevet Yehuda. And third of all, it's not like a feast where anyone who comes first gets the best part. So there's no reason for you to be so upset. Yeah, so we passed him the Yarden with him, and you can take him from now on. You can support him, you can greet him, and there's no problem. It's not like whoever comes first, you know, first comes first serve. So it's not really an issue. The people of Israel tell the people of Yehuda, no, you're very wrong. First of all, the fact that you're saying that you're closest to him, on the other end, we are 10 times more than you. Right? 10 times the amount. We're 11 tribes, you're only one. So why are you, so to speak, taking a hold of David HaMelech? It's not right. Right, and to the other argument that the people of Yehuda are saying that, you know, what do you care who comes to support David HaMelech first? It's not like a feast that whoever comes first gets the best part of meat. It's not like that. The people of Israel are answering this argument, and they're saying, no, that's not true. The fact that you supported David HaMelech first looks really bad for us, because that shows that we're not supporting David HaMelech. And if you go ahead and you're the first ones to support David HaMelech, that, so to speak, is humiliating us. And it's putting us down, because that betrays us as rebels against the king. And so the fact that you came first is really bad for us. So don't come and tell me that it doesn't make a difference who comes to greet him first. It makes a very big difference. Vekash dvar ish Yehuda midvar ish Yisrael. So we find this is the beginning of the rivalry between the people of Yehuda and the people of Israel. And as we're going to see next perek, Sheva ben Bichri, because of this rivalry, Sheva ben Bichri was awoken, he was inspired, so to speak, to rebel against the king. He starts the next rebel. Poor David HaMelech, he doesn't have a moment's rest. Mm-hmm. He goes from the rebellion of Avshalom now to the rebellion of Sheva ben Bichri. And we're going to see in the next parak how Sheva ben Bichri rebels against David HaMelech. Obviously, he's defeated. But I just want to end with an interesting question that's brought down in the Mefarshim. When Sheva ben Bichri rebels against David HaMelech, this is the question I want you to think about for next time. When Sheva ben Bichri rebels against David HaMelech, we're going to see exactly what happens, but he's forced to run away. He runs into a city, fortified city. And Yoav ben Tzruya, the general of David HaMelech, surrounds the city. And he's prepared to kill the whole city. He's going to kill everybody. Man, woman, and child. There is one wise woman in the city who comes up to Yoav and she tells him, listen, why would you go ahead and kill out the whole city? Would it be enough for you to go ahead and have us kill Sheva ben Bichri instead? We're going to throw his head out to you to verify his death. And then, you know, you can spare the city. Go home to David HaMelech, prove to him that Sheva ben Bichri is dead. And everybody's happy. It's a win-win situation. Right? Mm-hmm. That's what happened. So now the question is, why is this different than the rule that we say, Ein dechi nefesh mipnei nefesh? The rule is, halacha is, that for example, if you have, it's very common, for example, with a baby that's being born. If the baby's being born, right, the halacha is, and he's putting his mother in danger, the halacha is that you can, you're not allowed to kill the, if the baby's still inside, then you're allowed to kill the baby because he's not considered a full life yet. However, once his head comes out, then you're not allowed to kill the baby, even though he's putting his mother in danger. Why? Because the halacha is, Ein dechi nefesh mipnei nefesh. You don't kill a life to save somebody else. Right? You can't kill the baby in order to save the mother. So why in this case, by Sheva ben Bichri, why is it different? Why were they allowed to kill Sheva ben Bichri in order to save the rest of the city?
Because he's the instigator. Why should everybody suffer because of him? Was it for him, maybe the rest of the city wouldn't have been against him.
Still, the halacha is in the nefesh b'pnei nefesh. You're not allowed to kill someone in order to save somebody else. Yeah, you're right. He was the one who he was the troublemaker, but why would you be allowed to kill him in order to save the rest of the city? There's no difference between one life and thousands of lives.
We can't see in any way for his actions that he's chayv misa.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, that he's deserving of...
It's not the same as having a baby.
So the simple answer is, like you're saying, that since he's a rebel against the king,
right,
he's chayv misa. But there are a few answers. That's a simple answer.
You say you can't kill the face to somebody else. That's this person. They're connected. The baby and the thing is connected this here.
Okay.
Okay. So you can't kill them to save her. Because if
what about the mother can?
If it over there they're not connected, you have different people.
By the baby and the mother?
Huh?
By the baby.
If you don't kill this guy,
okay,
you have to kill the other people. They're not connected because if this guy doesn't die, doesn't mean we're gonna die. And they're not connected by having a baby. There's one thing.
But the fact is that the baby is endangering the life of the mother. Correct. Baby's endangering the life of the mother. Also, over here, Sheva ben Bichri is endangering the life of the people in the city. Mm-hmm. Right.
Why?
The fact that he's there. Who cares why? The reason doesn't make a difference. The fact is, if he wasn't there, he wouldn't be in danger.
So why don't you just take him out?
Okay, but he's there. The fact is that he's endangering the people in the city. Yoav has a siege around the city. He's got an army ready to attack and kill out the whole city.
I don't see the same thing.
In both cases, the baby's endangering the mother, Sheva ben Bichri is endangering the people in the city.
Right.
If you don't save the baby, maybe the mother won't die. If you do, you don't know for sure. It's like saying this person is dying of a shot, and if you say you operate or not operate, we talk about this.
Here, we're not talking about odds. We're talking about, let's say, it's, you know, almost 99% sure. If you don't kill the baby, the mother's dead.
I know it's a saying, but I don't think it's the same thing.
Okay. Okay,
yeah.
You don't see the same thing.
We'll think about it till next week.
But so the simple answer is that he's a rebel against the king. But let's say he wasn't a rebel. Let's say he was a regular guy.
Yeah.
What's the difference between this case and the case of the baby and the mother?
He's a regular guy.
Let's see if he was a regular guy and he's endangering them.
Then actually, no. There's a case where the people refused or were not allowed to sacrifice a person.
I'm trying to remember, but let's put it this way, generally speaking. If somebody comes and says, I'm going to kill everybody unless you give me this person, but this person is innocent, you're not allowed to give
him. You can't give him over.
It depends. Depends. If what?
If he's innocent, what's your authority to kill him? You can't do that.
First of all, you're not killing him, you're just giving him over. Secondly, depends on a few cases.
Oh, is that a distinction? If you don't kill him, but you're handing him over,
that's some distinction. It also depends if they singled him out or not.
Yeah.
Right? Let's say they say, if, you know, it's a group of bandits around them, you know, five people, and they say, you know, give us, you know, John Smith. Right? If you don't give us John Smith, we're going to kill all of you. Are you allowed to give him or not? Case B is give somebody, exactly. Right. Give. I don't care who it is. Give us one of you, whoever it is. Doesn't make a difference to us. And if not, we're going to kill all of you. Same with women. They surround a group of women and say, you know, give us one of you. You will have our way with her. And then you can, the rest of you will be spared. Or we're going
to
go ahead and have our way with all of you.
A baby is talking about one person.
Does that make a difference if it's, if they say, hand us over someone that we can... And there's no guarantee that they're going to kill this person. Would you be allowed to, hand us, so I'll have him as a captive, and otherwise I'm going to kill everybody. Would you be able to do that? And you don't know for sure that they're going to kill him. Let's say they pay the ransom or whatever, meet their demands.
So if it's the name of a person, supposedly you can. But you know, in the Holocaust, they said, like, you know, they went.
They handed people over.
In the Holocaust, they said, like, they came. The famous case where they say we want kids up to age of 9 because they couldn't do any work. Well, that's a very tragic case, and they had to give the names, and they say if you don't give us, then somebody else will die. So people actually had to give. And they didn't single a certain person, they just singled a group.
One on one I cannot understand. But one in 100, one in 1,000?
It doesn't make a difference.
What if it's you?
Not the